Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Kicking toward the north end zone at Soldier Field. 3 for 3 on the day. 10 seconds to go. Parkey lines it up. O'Donnell on one knee. Gives him a look. Extends his right arm. Scales sends it back. Placement made. Kick by Parkey from 43. And it hit the upright. It is no good on the crossbar. And the Eagles are celebrating here at Soldier Field.
By rule.
43 yards, no good. 16-15. Hit the left upright.
First down at the 33-yard line.
You got to learn from it. You got to figure out the why part, and he'll do that, and we need to do that too, and just come together. But we need to support each other. I think it's cowardly when anybody with anything, you know, you got to be there and you got to talk. You got to figure it out and understand it. And it's hard. I mean, this is a hard one to swallow, but we'll all be in it together.
I have actually seen Herb Lawrence do this song in karaoke before, which is a horrible thing. Welcome back in. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock. The highlights courtesy of our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. By the way, I don't like Weezer's cover of Africa because I feel like they're mocking the original. I just like to say that. And now I'm done talking about Weezer. Other than to say that Saturday Night Live did a really good skit about Weezer fans, and it was completely Jay Zawoski. Like, both sides of the argument were completely Jay Zawoski. All right, so let's talk about the Bears, because that's what we're doing all night. We're giving you the opportunity to get your feelings out about it. I don't say that you just move on from it. It hasn't even been 24 hours yet, so the people that are pushing you to do that, I'm not sure why they're doing that. But I wanted to talk with someone with some special teams expertise that's seen a lot of kicks go in, from Robbie Gould, who, by the way, was in attendance in last night's game. He said he was going to do that after the Bears played the 49ers. He's our guru when it comes to special team stuff. He's Patrick Manley and does a great job on our pregame show and anything that we ask him to do. And also his show, The Huddle, which is great on NBC Sports Chicago. Patrick, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm supposed to be taping the Chicago Huddle tonight, but unfortunately I'm talking to you, but I don't mean that that way.
Yeah, man, that kind of sounded like you were taking a shot at me.
No, not at all. I don't mean it that way. It's just, it's heartbreaking. I feel bad for the city. I feel bad for Cody. It's not the ending we were hoping for, but I don't think we're surprised the way it ended when he was walking out there. And I heard you earlier talking about, you know, the crowd, the way they sounded when he was walking out there. And I happened to be hearing the radio call at this moment. I wasn't watching the TV broadcast, and you could hear it loud and clear right before that kick when he was walking out there.
Patrick, hold on. Let's call Patrick back, because he's in a bad cell area right now, and I need the cleanest phone line I can get to get his expertise. While we're waiting to reestablish with Patrick, let me go out to Midway and talk with Paul. Hey, Paul, you're on the score.
Hey, Lance, how you doing?
I'm good.
You can maybe even ask Patrick this real quick, or your opinion. Back in the Lovie days, whether defense or offense, a loose ball on the ground, they were told to run and get it.
Yep.
How would the game have changed if either Philadelphia did it or the Bears did it yesterday?
Well, I mean, I thought about that too, especially since Corey Graham was one of the guys who was out there, and he played for Lovie Smith. I thought Corey Graham, of all people, would run right at that ball and pick it up. But they called it, the referee called it quick, which I thought was bizarre. I actually think that it played in the Bears' favor, but the rule was complicated. Whatever. All right, back to Patrick. All right, so Patrick, walk me through your emotions. Before we get technical, I'd like to get emotional. Walk me through your emotions as the kick goes doink, doink.
I was just in shock. I think you heard maybe or couldn't hear me that I was actually listening to the radio call. And so I could hear the crowd, that moan or whatever you want to call it, that was there in Soldier Field as Cody was walking out there. And I think I was feeling the same way that the crowd was, that please don't let this happen. But, oh, my gosh, what a way to rewrite the storybook. You know, just nail this kick, because you know the Rams do not want to face the Bears after what happened a couple weeks ago. And while I was listening to it and hear it described and hear it went off the upright, I think I might have screamed, oh, my God. And I just was in shock. And I just, like I said earlier, I feel bad for Cody. I feel terrible for the city, because it's been 8 long years for a season like this, and to get experience a playoff game at home. And I'm still upset. I'm still devastated. And, you know, those players are hurting, and they'll carry this on for a while, but you got to take it in time, Lawrence, and turn it into motivation to make yourself a better player, not only Cody, but everybody else on that team, to figure out how you take that next step next year.
Not to reopen a wound, but you lost the Super Bowl.
I did.
So how hard are those moments to deal with? I mean, we had Thomas Jones on the show a long time ago in this summer, and he was talking about how it still haunts him, that he still will not watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like that he makes sure that he is working out or doing something while the Super Bowl is on, because it hurts him too much to watch the Super Bowl. So how do you go about getting over something this significant in your career?
You know, I think Matt Nagy sums it up. He's like, you got to feel the hurt. You got to understand it, and you got to move forward from it, and maybe use that as fuel. And sure, I still call our NFC Championship ring Super Bowl loser ring, because it still hurts. But you try to look back on like that entire year. If this is different than that kick, you look back on that entire year and remember the good. You remember your teammates, the fun ride getting there, the big wins. But yeah, that loss will always hurt. It should hurt them. And you just got to find a way to use that as positive motivation to never put yourself in that situation again. But it's going to happen. But see how you can overcome it as a team and make sure you get better.
Patrick Manley joining me here on The Score. Longtime Bears, long snapper, the most tenured Bear in Bears history. Played more games than anybody. So, Patrick, I know how you are about special teams. I know that you watch a ton of tape, and I imagine that you have run the DVR back and forth and back and forth on the kick. What did you see?
All right, I'll run you through the entire play. I'll start from snap all the way through the kick. The snap came back, and if you look at laces being at 12 o'clock, the laces were 6 o'clock, so they were backwards. They were almost completely backwards. Pat O'Donnell did a great job of spinning the ball and having it sitting there forward. So that really wasn't an issue. Yes, Parkey saw a ball spinning, but he's seen it all year long. And before he got to the kick, the ball was, you know, set down right with the right angle. And then you can just tell that Cody does not look comfortable. And all his steps all the way to the ball, to his follow through, he doesn't look comfortable. He looks like he peaks a little quick. He looks like he gets a little quick in his swing and pulls it a little left. Up front, you know, there's other guys that are blocking for you. They ran a sometimes teams will rush over the edge, and they'll try to put maybe 4 over 3 guys on the edge side. Well, this, they tried to put 3 in the B, over the B gap. So they line a guy head up over the guard, which is James Daniels. They put a guy right in the B gap, and they put a body right on Bobby Massey. And what they do is those two have those 3. So it's 3 guys coming through, trying to get through that B gap, but trying to spit the guy in the middle. He penetrates a little bit, not a whole lot. He gets about 3 yards deep. He's only 6'2". He gets his hand up, and yeah, he tipped the ball. But overall, I did not like the way that Cody, he did not look comfortable approaching the ball. And to answer all the questions, I thought he had a low kick. And I've talked to 2 other longtime successful kickers in the NFL, and they agreed with me. And I feel like I've seen a lot of kicks and know what the trajectory should look like, even from 43 yards. A 43-yard kick needs to be a little higher, and that's the kicker's job to do that, just knowing that the rush will come, and especially on a 43-yard game winner where they're coming with a little extra juice. And as a frontline blocker, you know, if it's a 50-yard field goal, the kicker's got to drive it more just to get it there. So you know up front you've got to be a little more stout. But when you get in a situation like this, Lawrence, when you've got the game on the line, those guys got their, you know, toes dug in the dirt a little bit deeper, they're coming harder, I thought they did a fine job up front. James Daniels got turned a little bit, so there was a little bit of a gap in there. But, again, the guy's 6'2". He did get his arm up, and there is a photo from a photographer from the sidelines that shows the guy maybe got 4 to 5 inches off the ground. It's not like he got up in the air. And Cody just looked like he got quick on it, drove it too much, kicked it low. He got a hand on it. And, you know, as they say, the rest is history. Hit off the upright. And would have been a much better story if it hit off the upright and went in, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, and that bounce, like the bounce off the crossbar is the killer.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're sitting there going, you know, it could flip backwards and then go over the crossbar, and then it's an even better story. Then it's even better. It's like he did the thing that he does, but it ended up like working out in the Bears' favor.
Lawrence, if that happened, you book it. Bears win the Super Bowl. That's just the story. That, you know what I mean? That summed it up. If that would have hit the crossbar and gone in, I would have said that book it. Bears are going to be in Atlanta. They're going to the Super Bowl.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you broke it down, because I was joking earlier that I talked with a championship level soccer coach who said the exact same thing that you did, that when they saw the swing of the leg, that they knew it was pushed left. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if the tip actually may have given it an opportunity to be good instead of it going wide left.
I don't think so, Lawrence. I've seen a different view than most people, and it makes the ball go a little left. I think if it is not tipped, I think it stays straight. I think it sneaks in the left side. I do believe it moved it a couple yards to the left, and I do think it caused it to go off the upright. That's just from what I've seen from the end zone views.
Was he spooked about the wind?
Because I think he is, and it's always, you know, it's always windy there. Even though they say it's not windy and it's 5 degrees or 5 mile an hour wind, it's still moving in there. But what I think what he has learned is that if you take the goalpost in thirds, if you got a little left to right wind, you play the left third of the whole of the goalpost, and it should move it back to the middle. And it looks like to me that's kind of what he was playing. If he was trying to hit it to the left, that it would fall back to the right. You basically take the left, you take the right miss out, because you're not going to cut it that far and miss the right upright. But you do play a little bit with that left upright, but it should fall either in the middle third left or down the middle if the wind pushes a little right. And I think he was trying to play that, and it just didn't work out.
You're his teammate. What would you say to him? Maybe not in the moment, but maybe it's today or tomorrow. How do you console him? And try, because he's going to be your teammate, at least contractually. He's slated to be your teammate next year. How do you get him right?
That's a tough one. I'll be harsh here, because I just believe as a professional, you're paid to do your job. I played with a whole lot of teammates over 16 years, and they were guys that I loved, but they just weren't good enough. And if they weren't good enough as a teammate, you have to be fair to all the rest of your teammates. You want somebody better in there. You want somebody that can do their job. And everybody knows what everybody's getting paid in there. And especially when Cody walked in there, they knew what he got, because he was the big kicker signing that was coming in to solve all the problems, and he didn't. But if I'm his teammate today, you know, I'm hugging him and saying, man, I got your back, and let's get this right. But I also understand in the back of my mind that Ryan Pace has a job to do. He owes it to us as the Chicago Bears organization to put the best players out there on the field. So if he was to be moved on, As a teammate and as a friend, if I became friendly with him for the year, I would understand it, because the franchise deserves the best players they can get at each position. And that's a harsh answer, but that's just the reality of the business, that you make friendships in that locker room and the friendships go on for life, but you also still want the best player at every position to be out there. And, you know, guys get cut, and if they're not good enough at doing what they're able to do, it's time to move on. And it's understood in that locker room that you got to do your job.
How does Cody Parkey come back to this team? And I'm not even talking about his teammates.
It's hard, man, because he's going to walk into Soldier Field, or he's not going to walk onto the practice field in Bourbon A and get booed. And that's a hard thing to deal with. And you got to think about this too, is, you know, when you've been in the locker room, now everybody has to answer questions about him. Guys hate answering questions about other teammates, and he is now that guy, and that's going to be asked until, you know, forever. Because it's going to be a hard thing for him to get over. But, you know, you hated as a teammate to be answering questions about somebody else. And I think that's something that, that Ryan Pace and the front office need to look at, because everybody else in that locker room is now going to have to deal with this situation.
There's another special teams play that I wanted to talk to you about. Well, two, actually. The O'Donnell punt.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Like, that, that he's been – I thought that Patrick has had a pretty good season. I think that he had a decent game up to that point, but that punt was significant.
He missed it. To me, it looked like he missed it. He went to his flip-flop, is where that nose down is, what we had called it before as a flip-flop kick, where you can kind of control it more. You know that it's going to go 42 to 45 yards. You're going to get enough hang, and you're going to see Darren Sproles back there raising his hand, and it's a safe kick. You take away the return. You get 42 yards of net. You're pretty much guaranteed it. To me, it just looked like he dropped it inside and he missed it and pulled it left, and it hurt him to get the only 36 yards. But, you know, he's another guy that is become more talented, because before, with the old special teams coaches, they made him kick that all the time. Chris Tabor let him become more of a professional punter and let him kick other kicks. At that moment, Brad Maynard texted me and he said, I don't understand why he just didn't let him drive the ball, hit a normal punt. But I can also understand that if you do hit that kick, you pretty much take the return out. You're guaranteed 42, 45 net, no return, don't have to worry about covering. But he didn't execute it.
And the return by Tariq Cohen, I went back. I enjoyed watching it, because I really enjoyed watching Benny Cunningham block on that play.
Yeah.
He got two guys and kind of got the extra like 12 yards or so for Cohen, because he got Malcolm Jenkins and just threw him around.
Lawrence, when you get a guy like that back there, like we had Devin Hester, had Glenn Milburn before, guys that can always take it to the house, always have the chance, guys turn it up a little bit more up front. They'll block through the whistle, as they call it, or whatever. You know what I mean? That you saw that effort. Yeah, granted, it was a big moment, and everybody knew that, you know, we've got to block a little bit harder. But you've got Tariq Cohen back there, and you know with that talent that he could take it all the way. So, yeah, it was fun to watch that effort, but I kind of wish he would have gotten more touches maybe later in the season, just to kind of get him ready, too, for the playoffs. And it didn't work out, but Tariq is a special player, and that was a hell of a run on his part, too.
Patrick Manley joining me here on The Score. Speaking of touches for Tariq Cohen, I felt like there weren't enough yesterday. Well, what was your assessment of the Bears' offense?
That on his card, it always says BU, and it didn't look like he was being him. It just didn't look like the same. There's been so many times on the pregame show with Hub, you hear – Olin and Big Cat and Hub afterward talk about Tariq Cohen got too many touches. He got too many handoffs, too many runs to him. We didn't see that. And that had worked for 12 wins before, but I was kind of shocked to not hear his name called and see him get just more straight-up runs. There was one play that he was used as a decoy to Josh Bellamy that tossed down the sideline that worked, where he was the decoy, but I still wish he would have had the ball in his hands more. I mean, He's arguably the most dynamic player out there, and you win with the ball in your best player's hands.
It seemed like that they were trying to set Maddox up, and they spent a half trying to set him up. And I'm like, you don't need it. He's jumping routes. So if you want to double move him and hit him with something big, it was available in the second quarter. And I'm like, come on. Like, and then when they got to it in the second half, you're just sitting there going, why weren't they doing this earlier and get vertical a little bit on these guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. I don't understand. It just was a different, you know, watching this game, it just looked different offensively. There were just the calls played when they were called just looked different. The timing seemed different. I didn't get it. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if they saw something on tape that we didn't see, or were trying to feel them out and maybe waited too long to do that. It just didn't have the same feel of all the other games he's called this season.
What's the thing that you will take away outside of what happened yesterday, but what will you take away from the Bears 2018 season?
You know, they overachieved, in my opinion. I didn't think they would be this good yet. I think Khalil Mack made the biggest difference, obviously, when they got him and the defense became what they were. But I just think they've sped up their growth, and I'm just excited to see where they go, because I think they have a lot of good young players that took that next step. I think going into the season, everybody was hoping for Eddie Goldman, Leonard Floyd, Eddie Jackson, all these young guys to take that next step instead of just being the best nose guard on the Bears, be the best nose guard in the NFC North. And all those guys, to me, did that. And I think they're there and can only get better. And I think it's shown from their Pro Bowl recognition, their All-Pro recognition. But
I just feel like it was a huge step forward instead of just a small step forward.
I was sitting next to Matt Forte yesterday, and he said something that honestly like haunts me now that I think about it. He talked about how you guys had really great success early on in his career, that you went to the playoffs, and then he spent the rest of his career chasing the playoffs and didn't get back there, and he is bitter about it. I mean, and I know that you've dealt with this too. Like, mm-hmm. you thought that there would be a run of
sure.
you guys going to the playoffs. So how do you convey to those guys that it's not guaranteed that you're going back there to avenge this loss or face the Rams or Saints and get them refocused on what will be a new team no matter what next year?
I think sometimes you just forget how hard you worked to be that successful. You know, some of those wins come easy with all the talent you have, but you forget you actually worked that hard in the weight room, the off season, at practice. You let nothing slide, and you have to have the right group of leaders in that locker room to not let anybody slide. I've said it before on the station that I felt like we had some guys that when they became Super Bowlers, they're not Pro Bowlers, they kind of just maybe coasted a little bit more because the city starts patting you on the back a little bit. You might get this car deal here, you're doing this commercial, and you feel like you have arrived, but you haven't. You still have to work your tail off because you are a backup linebacker or a fill-in guy here or whatever. You're not Brian Urlacher. You're not Olin Krutz. You're not those guys that are just that gifted and work that hard to become Hall of Famers and, you know, Hall of Fame material, in my opinion, about Olin and other guys, Lance Briggs. But you just can't let it slide, and you have to go back and remember how hard that season was. Yes, you had 12 wins, and you got to the playoffs and won the division. But just remember how hard that work was, and you have to work harder or repeat it. You know, you just can't slide at all.
Patrick, I appreciate your time, man. You do an incredible job on our pregame Thanks. Show and Thanks, as an man. Analyst for us. And I love the huddle, and shout out to April, who does a great job on the show mm-hmm. As well. Thanks for really giving us a great breakdown of what happened with the kick and all the work that you do for the station throughout the season.
You bet, man. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Yeah, man. And quit putting up pictures, thirst trap pictures on your Instagram of you taking golf shots with no shirt on.
Hey, when they tell you at the first tee that you have to take your shoes off, you know, by the eighth or ninth hole, your shirt has to come off.
Yeah, I you're probably right. And now that there's no more Bears football, there's going to be plenty of golf for one Patrick
yeah.
Manley.
Yeah, Instagram's going to change a little bit now.
All right, so it's going to be all mullets, El Caminos, and golf?
And golf, amen.
All right, thanks, Patrick. Right. I appreciate you.
We'll see you guys.
That's Patrick Manley. I adore him. He's great. I told you we were going to get an expert opinion on the kick. And damn it if he didn't give you chapter and verse of what happened on that kick.
And, like, kind of broke bad on Cody Parker. It didn't break bad, but he, like, told it like it is. I think, you know, usually people, like, couch it, and they're like, you know, you got to say this and that. He's like, no, that's a professional. That guy's got to make his job. And if he goes, he goes. I was like, man, Patrick, come with the fire.
Herbie, I got to tell you, Bears of that era, they're like that. The idea of professionalism. And I mean that in the strictest of terms. You're getting paid to do something, and you don't do it consistently, you got to go. Because you have to give guys an opportunity to win. I'll tell you, like working with Alex like last year, when the Marcus Cooper thing happened, remember that game against Tampa Bay where he just stopped running like someone had dropped the controller? Alex was like, they should have cut him then. Immediately. These guys take that stuff really seriously. Patrick's probably the nicest. Like, he understands how to package it the nicest. But what he said is no different from what I would hear Olin say or Alex or Lance or Matt. It's just a matter of temperament. And Manley is a little bit more mild-mannered, but just a little. Don't let the smooth taste fool you. That's a professional player who played for 18 years.
And gave Nagy some, too.
He did. And I think
deserved it.
I think that he deserved it. And I think that that's one of the reasons why I love the score. when you're dealing with some real stuff, and not everything can be bouquets. And it has been bouquets for most of the year this year because Nagy has earned that. He earned all the criticism that he's getting today and will continue to get. And it's a long damn time. It's a long time between the end of a season. Isn't it the longest? Of all the major sports, it's the longest offseason, right? You got 9 months. It's not like a baby was what, like 44 weeks though, right? A baby will have been conceived and born before the Bears play a meaningful football game again. Y'all had...
That's a little too long.
9 months?
I mean, because I was conceived theoretically on February 14th. And my birthday is November 6th. So they'll be playing football by then.
I'm just saying that you know that there were some... You know there were some Bears win the division babies that were conceived. And they'll be here before the season starts. I'm just saying it's a long damn time. We need to take a break. You want to jump in with your thoughts? 312-644-6767 is the number. By the way, Patrick wasn't the only ex-Bear that had great stuff to say. Tom Thayer was money in the bank this morning, too. I want to share a little bit of that, along with taking your phone calls. You can text us at 670-11. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and you're listening to The Score. Glad that you're hanging out, making this show your choice for your nighttime listening. We appreciate that. I'm Lawrence Holmes, the crew. Herb Lawrence is the executive producer. Mike Chen is in charge of all sound on the show. We just had an incredible chat with Patrick Manley. It was awesome. Glad that he was able to come on the show and lend his expertise to the show. And I thought that he wrapped everything up in a nice bow for you on what happened on the kick. So. Let me get back to some of your phone calls, and I want to share some stuff that Tom Thayer had to say. I will tell you that the bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Go there. You should check it out. It looks really good. Single game tickets are available now for Penn State. Oh, they're going to kill Penn State. Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ohio State. They just beat the Illini in a close one. By now, NUSports.com. What was that play that they drew up at the end? I don't know.
I didn't even watch.
Because you were watching DePaul win? Is that why?
Damn right.
That's your team
I'm
now.
I'm switching over.
Yeah. Beat Seton Hall.
They're actually, you know, what, 4 games over .500?
Let's not get too excited.
That's a tough win.
I'm happy that they got the win. Because had they had another close loss, I'd have been...
Used to bake cookies. I don't see that happening anymore.
No, because I don't have time. But in a couple days, once we really get through with the Bear stuff, some people going to get it on this show. There's some stuff that we haven't had a chance to talk about because it's unimportant when the Bears are good. But once we get through the autopsy of the Bear season and yesterday's game, some people going to get it. We need to talk about some things. We need to talk about both the residents of the United Center. And I know this much. Manny Machado's ass better find his way to Chicago. I don't even care what side. Him or Bryce Harper better end up with 312 area codes. Was Manny Machado actually at the Bears game, or were people just lying yesterday?
I think people were just lying.
So he wasn't there with Jerry Reinsdorf? I feel like Jerry Reinsdorf isn't even a Bears fan.
No, he's from New York.
Probably. I know that Rick Hahn is a Bears fan. I know that. I have seen Rick with his kids, like, all, like, geared up in Bears gear. Like, they care about the Bears. But I don't know if I've ever seen Jerry Reinsdorf at a Bears game. Then again, I kind of can't get to the places that Jerry Reinsdorf might be. Like, he's in a whole different tax bracket, you know? But every now and again, like, I would take the elevator and I'd be like, oh, that's someone who's really famous. What are they doing here? Get out of here, Kutcher. No, he's legit. Like, Ashton's like a legit. Can I take a moment before we go back to this? Something that, I mean, it made me sad and also, like, happy at the same time yesterday. So we have the TV on in the green room, which is where we watch the Bears games over at NBC Sports Chicago. And they asked me to come in early because I was supposed to do a talk back with NBC Sports Philadelphia. And they were doing this whole thing about which city is better. And I was like, we really don't have to, we don't have to spend any airtime on it because obviously Chicago is way better than Philadelphia. And I laid out my case. Their city's dirty. They don't have alleys. Our river and our lakefront is better than anything that they have. And then the guy, like, you know, I was supposed to have the last word, but then he got mad. But that was the whole reason that you invited me on. And then he's like, oh, yeah, well, we're the cradle of this nation. Yeah, until they decided that they wanted the capital in D.C. Until Alexander Hamilton was like, oh, go ahead. Take the capital down there to Virginia if you want. You had it, and then you gave it away because you're Philadelphia.
And as Bill Burr said, you root for a fictional boxer, and you have a world champion that you don't like because he's
correct.
A little bit dark than correct. You like.
That's why I was rooting for Clubber Lang yesterday, because Clubber Lang beat the hell out of Rocky in the first fight. And where's Clubber Lang from? Chicago. So if we were going to go fictional fighters, they're 1-1. All right, that's enough.
And the cheesesteak is trash.
I mean, come on. Have better cheesesteak here. Hey, Pete, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, big fan of the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, I want to talk about something, a play that I thought was noteworthy, but I really hadn't heard being discussed too much elsewhere, and that was Allen Robinson. I think it was the fourth quarter. It was right after he hit that big sluggo for a big game. And then the next play of the play after, he came back, and there's a pass on the sideline. He got 1 foot down and he just didn't even make an attempt to toe drag the second one or to set him up first and goal on the 5. They end up going 2nd and 10. I think they settled for a field goal. Really would have changed the momentum of the game. I want to know what you think.
Well, I'm not mad at Allen Robinson after the display he put on last night. What do you have, 143 yards? Not mad at him. Made some tough catches in traffic. The Trey Burton thing is... Mike, can you pull up Trey Burton talking about his injury? Because he did talk about that today as Bears players were clearing out their locker. And I do think that it's questioned because I felt like him not being there was really important. So here's Trey Burton talking about his injury.
Came into practice Friday feeling okay, a little stiff. Got done with practice, it was all right. Went home Friday night and started feeling a little bit more stiff. Woke up Saturday and my groin was completely locked, and I had a tough time walking, tough time doing really anything. And then tried to do everything we could, you know, Saturday night, really all day, and then Sunday morning, but it wouldn't loosen up and let go, so wasn't able to play.
So it kind of traces back to Thursday?
No, Friday.
Oh, Friday.
Yeah,
you
Friday
just felt
practice.
Friday.
Well, I mean, yeah, I thought I was fine. I thought I'd be able to, you know, push through it. Didn't get any treatment. I thought I was good, you know, and then went to sleep Friday night and woke up and was completely locked.
How difficult was it to not only admit that, but then to have to just watch?
Yeah, I mean, you let my team down, you know, I hate it, especially going against, you know, one of my former teams and playoff game, you know, all the implications and all that. Was definitely tough.
So did you just think it was kind of regular soreness?
Yeah, Friday I did. Yeah. I thought, I mean, I'd be able to push through. I practiced, like I said, there was nothing really alarming. You know, after practice I felt pretty good, went home, and it's kind of, you know, my history of my body, that's what my body does. It locks up whenever it feels, you know, any threat, and that's kind of what happened to me.
Then on Saturday when you're trying to push through and see if there's something you can do, are you starting to panic at some point on this isn't getting better?
I mean, it was extremely frustrating, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah.
What all did you do Sunday morning to try to get it unlocked? And
everything possible.
What all did that include?
I mean, a lot of stuff. I don't really want to get into it, but everything possible.
At what point did you realize I'm not going to be able to play?
Probably right before they had to put out the inactive list.
What were the emotions like?
Frustrated. Extremely frustrated.
Did you talk to Shaheen? Go ahead, Andy.
It wasn't something specific, though, that you did?
But... not that I remember. I think it's just my body trying to protect itself.
Yep. So that's Trey Burton. I really felt like they missed his presence yesterday. Absolutely missed his presence yesterday. And as I said at the top of the show, I don't want to hear ever again about how athletic Adam Shaheen is. That's enough. hearing that nonsense, that's enough. He's like Gronk. Well, you mean he's like the greatest tight end who's ever played? Like, let's get real about. I know that Gronk is a clown and a party dude and a bro, but let's be real about what he is as a player. He's the best tight end you've ever seen. So let's stop throwing stuff around like Ben Broniker, his name kind of sounds like Gronk, so he's Gronk. And Adam Shaheen was the Gronk of Division II. That's enough. That's enough of that. Am I wrong, Herbie? Like you saw him yesterday, and you've seen enough of Adam Shaheen, even with his injuries, to be like, if he wants, you want him on your roster, okay, but stop expecting special stuff.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day. I was like, usually in the NFL, you don't ramp up to be great. You usually, NFL, NBA, you usually are great or good enough when you say, okay, I see it early. It's not like, oh man, he's kind of a bum. And then, oh my God, he's amazing. So yeah.
Right.
This guy, I mean, if you could say he's like Gronk because he gets hurt often.
Yeah.
But when Gronk is on the field, Gronk is balling.
Yes. And I'll give you an example. People talk about Mitchell Trubisky's athleticism. Even last year, you saw it. You were like, oh, okay. I see what you're talking about. Everyone's like, well, Adam Shaheen, man, he's just a big body and he can run and he can't run. I'll give him credit, though. I thought his inline blocking yesterday was really good. I thought he did a good job. So like I said, if you need him on your roster, cool. But let's stop thinking that he's special. That's enough of that. A lot of people not believe in Trey Burton. I have no reason to not believe him. But they suffered him not being on the field. Back after this on The Score. At 8 o'clock, we're going to talk with Hub Arkish about his thoughts on the Bears' end of their season and what happens next. We're going to take phone calls. You're also going to hear from Stacey Dales, who was on the sideline as the Parkey kick gets blocked. So she's got some thoughts. She's done a great job covering the Bears all season long. I heard some great stuff this morning. I was on my way to hit the elliptical after a week of dealing with a sinus infection. I got back at it today, like real hard. Did my 4 miles. I think maybe four and a half miles. Felt great. And I was listening to Tom Thayer on with Mully and Haw. He was great this morning, like really good stuff. He talked about the kick as well. But what I thought was the most interesting stuff that Tom had to say, and I wanted you to take a listen to it, was what he said about the Bears and their lack of offense yesterday.
My feeling, David, was if you go back and you watch the Philly Bears game last year in Philly, the Philly defensive front beat the crap out of the Bears. I mean, physically, they took it to them, and they had absolutely no success. By the end of the game, Josh Sitton was playing center. Cody Whitehair was out of the game. You know, they had the rest of the guys in there fighting for their lives. And I think when you go back and you – I know it's a new head coach. I know it's a new system. I know all that. So, you know, don't – get flooded with that type of controversy. Sometimes when you play a team throughout the course of your career and they have greatness on that defensive line, it is a challenge to you mentally. If you can physically hold up against these guys, if you can, you know, get holes open in the interior, you know, Fletcher Cox, Tim Jernigan, Haloti Ngata, the rest of the guys they have, they are some of the most powerful guys on the inside. So to me, watching the game last year, I wanted to see if the Bears were able to overcome the physical struggles that they faced last year during the game to be able to overcome that aspect of it. So I think initially the game plan was to, passing-wise, get the ball out of Mitch's hands as quickly as possible, and the running game have a little bit of edge deception, so maybe you can increase the size of the holes on the inside. And the first play of the game, Jordan carried it. I think he tripped or he would have gone a long way. Other than that, they just never had those explosive point A to point B type of runs. Even the runs that Taylor Gabriel had, the 20-yarder was a jet sweep, and then to Tree Cohen, when he had his carries, it's trying to outrun guys laterally. And from Tariq to Jordan to no matter who you are, we've seen it from some of the best backs that have come in here. You are not going to outrace defenses to the edge every time and get earned yards. If they get you going lateral, that's a win by the defense. So to me, it was a little bit of precautionary measures from what they've seen on tape of the teams they played this year, plus what they went through last year.
You know, we know the Eagles had a dodgy secondary. We know that they were kind of makeshifting a lot of things on that defense. We also know they're a zone team, and the way to beat a zone is the tight end becomes important. Trey Burton being out and the lateness of that injury, the fact that I'm sure he practiced all week, right?
Yes.
So that, it, you know, when I'm watching some of these plays, I couldn't help but think that, you know, well, that – it's a pity that's not Trey Burton. It's a pity that Ben Broniker is getting a shovel pass, or maybe even the one on the goal line that went to Taylor Gabriel or the Shaheen.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan of having a shovel pass to Adam Shaheen. He's just too big of a body, yeah. And there's a lot of awareness of him on the field. When you have a smaller, compact guy like Trey Burton or even Ben Broniker, for that matter, or the other guys that have got him up near the line of scrimmage, there's a little bit more deception to the defense that takes place. You know, when you go back and you look at the vertical passing attack that they introduced late in the last drive of the first half and into the second half, when you look at these guys and you start reading the analytics of according to our game plan, I think if you take their top four guys or five guys, they had well over 100 hits on the quarterback, and that's not counting the sacks and the other things that they were able to be so disruptive with. But if you look at the Bears, their top rushers, Khalil Mack, Leonard Floyd, Akeem Hicks, and Roy Robertson-Harris, I think they had 56. So it's the exact way, you know, these guys get put so much pressure on the quarterback so quickly. We have to devise this game plan that the ball is out of Mitch's hands within that, you know, 1.8 to 2.2 seconds every time. And so when you look at that, what plays best fit into that? And then they said, oh, we can't do this anymore. Allen Robinson is good enough to go up over the top of these guys, use the sideline for a little help, and get the ball into him for big plays. And that's kind of the game plan they followed throughout the second half. And I think if they would play him again down the road next year or something, I still think that they would have the ability to go over the top, even if their defensive backs were healthy.
That was some great analysis from Tom Thayer. I thought that he hit the nail on the head when it came to talking about the Bears offense trying to be maybe a little bit too horizontal and not enough vertical yesterday. Lakeview and Joel. Hey, Joel, you're on the Score.
Yeah, hey, how you doing? I got a comment for you about a coach did to used to say, my offense has to score at least 24 points and my defense keep them with 17. All week I heard people saying defenses win championships. The last four games of the year, the Bears only averaged just over 20 points a game, and three of those four teams didn't make it to the playoffs. So during their offense was going down the last 4 weeks, and no defense is going to win you your games when you're only scoring 20 points a game.
Well, I mean, in other games that would have been enough to win, and 20 points would have been more than enough to win yesterday. But yes, their offense hasn't been as spectacular as you would have hoped, which was the point of the Tom Thayer thing. Hey, James, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, thanks for taking my call, my man. Hey, I had a quick question for you, and I wanted to get your assessment of the final drive. Okay, so the whole game and the whole year, we've pretty much dismissed Kevin White. Now, the last play before the field goal, there was cover zero, obviously, where everybody was going, everybody was attacking. There was no safety over the top. That's a perfect play for a guy like Kevin White with the size that he has. He has the length. He could have got up and jumped up and caught the ball like he did against New England.
Yeah, but,
like
James, I would say I don't think you want to do a 50-50 ball in that situation, because you know you don't want to turn it over. I think that Mitch missed the throw. I think he missed the throw, two throws to Miller, that if he puts him in a better spot, turn into touchdowns. The one throw at the end of the half, the crazy thing with the is incomplete. No, it's a fumble. And the throw at the end, and I get it. He was being careful. He wanted to make sure they had a chance to kick a field goal. But I think if he leads over the left shoulder a little bit more, then both of those turn into touchdowns. Appreciate the phone call. We're going to take a break. When we come back, what did Hub think of this? Hub Arkish is going to join us next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.